Right, it is Nick's update from Michigan, otherwise known as News with Nick. That is the new rap song from Daniela Bregoli. You guys have probably already heard of this. Let's see what the chat's saying. I've become the Nick of the workplace. Everyone hates me. Aha! Nice. Brandon Welsh says. So this is the new rap song from Daniela Bregoli, otherwise known as Catch Me Outside, right? This came out on August 30th. Oh, by the way, it is September 11th, 2017 today, so that's pretty cool. No jokes about 2002. That's level one at this point, because that's been played.
These hoes, they feed off attention. Zero time, that's what I give. I ain't nothing like these hoes. Don't compare me to no one. Money green like a CeeLo.
I don't know what she's saying. Something like, everyone's like these hoes, but she spells hoes, H-E-A-U-X. And then there's a shot here of Kim or Khloe Kardashian look like getting her lips pumped up.
Yeah, my pocket's so swollen. I ain't nothing like these hoes. Don't compare me to no one. Money green like a CeeLo. Yeah, my pocket's so swollen.
And then they cut over to another scene where it's mothers opposed to BB, at the M-O-B-U-B. Now, you might be saying, who's BB? I thought her name was Daniela Bregoli. No, her new name is the Bahad Bahabi. B-H-A-D-B-H-A-B-I-E. Now, at first, I thought this was Bad Bobby, like Barbie. But I'm like, you can't be using Barbie, or even anything that sounds like it, because Disney will get you, or whoever owns Barbie. Disney, right? Because of that Toy Story, which wasn't even from Disney, so I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so no, her stage name is Bahad Bahabi, otherwise known as, pronounced as Bad Baby, I think. Now let's cut over to her new video. This is her reacting to people reacting to her video.
You know, like music and shit, like I've been in the studio since probably April, and it was like, I was kind of scared. What if people just like think it's a joke? Like, what if it doesn't blow up? What if this doesn't happen? I was scared, like for real, like this is real life. But it turns out, bitch, I'm a rapper, okay?
Okay, this girl is exactly what would happen if we got our good friend Renee hooked up with someone with a bunch of money to make her a famous person. It would end up like this.
But I want to thank all of you who really like it. I love you, and I hope to meet all of you one day when I start touring and doing shows.
She's starting touring and doing shows. I'm going to the shows. Is this the chick that's known for her big tatas? Well, no one would admit to that. So, legally, no. So anyway, there's a 10-minute video of her reacting to other people reacting. So she gets real mad at these people who don't like her video.
These cocks.
That was a guy trying to pronounce the name of her video, Hose, H-E-A-U-X or whatever.
Is he stupid? We're going to take another spelling class, okay? Bad. When you really think...
She's going to do a spelling class with people on how you spell bad with the H. Here's she explaining how her name came about.
About it, bad. You kind of hear the H in there, right? Baby, bad baby. Same way you would spell it. Say it the same way you would spell it regularly. B-A-D-B-A-B-Y, bad. It's just I spell it different. The same way. Are you same way this idiot's pronouncing? Okay.
Alrighty. So her name is Bad Baby, spelled with the H's, kind of like Kesha, but spelled with a dollar sizzle. So there we go. We got a lot of people in the chat right here. Oh dear. Nuffin Man says she's going to be ruined by a black you know what by the time she's 17. She's deaf, a chick who conundears herself very intelligent. Conundears? Oh, considers. The text is very small on my screen. All right, you guys. thanks for hanging out for the Monday news show. let's see what else is going on. So that's Danielle Brigill and her bad baby. We're going to be keeping close eye on this because when she comes to Boston or anywhere that I'm near, I will definitely have to be getting tickets and doing it for the show. Right, everyone? Wink. All right, next story. Okay, it's finally happened that my worst fear has come true. And so this is maybe a month and a half old now. I don't do a lot of news shows, so we are a little bit behind. But it's finally happened. Isaac Komisarczyk, 82, was last seen alive on July 5th. Nearly a month later, his decomposing body was found in an inoperable elevator at the Woodstream Village Apartments in Denver after tenants complained to management about an awful smell coming from a parking garage that was under renovation.
I knew that smell right away because working for a pest control company, I know the smell of dead rats, unfortunately. Have you figured anything out about this horrible smell?
I knew the smell of dead rats. So apparently old dead men smell like dead rats.
And he said, yeah, we figured it out. They actually found a dead body. And I said, you're kidding, right? That's a joke. And he said, no, I'm not kidding.
Let's see if there's any other information with the guy talking. Nope, just a dramatic video. So I'll scroll down a bit. Denver police are investigating what went wrong, particularly after police determined that the man tried to summon help by pressing the elevator's emergency button at least twice on the morning of July 6th. Did anyone check the elevator after the emergency button was pressed? The answer is no. So we have some more information.
The elderly man who died in an elevator shaft and sat there for weeks tried to get help. Denver 7 Sally Manders live outside the Woodstream Village apartment. Sally, you tried...
We need to send a woman live to the thing.
Reaching out both to the company that monitors the elevator and the one that manages that apartment.
That's right. And we heard from one of them. The Denver police have now taken over the...
What the heck was that? It's the news. I got a honk.
Investigation of this. They tell me that on the morning of July 6th, the man that was trapped inside one of the elevators here at Woodstream Village Apartments in Denver pushed the help button twice with an 8-minute span. Now, they tell me when he pushed the button, it did send a notification out to the elevator management company, and two elevators were checked, but not the third elevator, which is where the body was found.
Okay, there's the three elevators. There was a help alarm, so they're like, we'll check two of them. We got a 66.6 repeating percent chance of getting the guy who needed help. Check two of them. It's like, it's probably a false alarm.
Now, this was the garage elevator of the apartments, and the body believed to have been there for about a month. That specific garage elevator was not operating because it was in an area that was under renovation.
Now, how did the guy get in if it wasn't operating? Huh? How about that?
The victim, 82-year-old Isaac Komisarczyk, who possibly suffered from dementia, was missing since July 5th. Now, his body was found August 2nd inside the elevator after tenants reported a foul smell. Now, Denver Fire tells me this is not a typical call.
There's just B-roll here of a plug, like a cable plugged into an outlet. They're running out of, we got an intern video editor and we need someone to edit together this news story. Just use some of the spare footage. or it's like, okay, record this plug. I don't know why this is interesting.
Call for them.
You know that Michaels has fuzz. Just kidding.
And this tragedy will now have them take a closer look into codes surrounding elevator responses.
But the code is written in such a way that we hope that things like this will not happen again. And if we find that there's any errors that might have been made on the Denver Fire Department side or that could enhance the code and reduce the likelihood of this happening, we're certainly going to address that. That is important.
So there's not enough information in this story to know what happened. So a guy was in the elevator for a month, but they didn't check it. But did they not check it because they knew it was out of order? If it's out of order, how did the guy get in? Is he Alex Mack and he can turn himself into liquid and slide through the door's cracks and then reappear in the elevator? Is he from that movie, Naked? Now we're playing on Netflix. We are sponsored, by the way, by Netflix. Please start your free trial at netflix.com/codes/PATG. And we will get a 1,000% cut of your first month's rent. Anyway, does he wake up in the elevator and he presses the help button? Did he roll himself into the elevator? Did he walk into the elevator because he has dementia? He goes, oh, an elevator. It's open. But then how did it close? All of these questions are not answered. Let's skip ahead 20 seconds in the video and see if magically they get answered.
Graystar, which is the company that runs Woodstream Village Apartments here, tell me they are continuing to investigate the circumstances surrounding the incident with local authorities.
Well, that was a month ago, and I have not heard any updates. So if anyone can look this up. No, there's a picture of him sitting in his lawn chair reading a magazine. What is that? Ooh. What you reading there? What you studying? Well, anyway, good he's dead. We didn't need him anyway. He was 82 and didn't know how to figure out if an elevator would work or not. By the way, never take an elevator in a parking garage. Those things are the scariest. Subway systems and parking garages, nobody cares about those elevators. They're probably never serviced. Do not get into them. You will die. Let's see. Ooh, we didn't need that anymore. So, all right. So I am out in Michigan and visiting the parents. And the reason I visited, well, obviously, other than visiting the parents, is I ran the Holland Haven Half Marathon. Yay, everyone. So I got this medal. It says Holland Haven Marathon on it because they were too cheap to make different medals for the marathon and the half marathon. All they did was make a different little lanyard. So when you first look at the medal, it's like, oh, wow, a marathon, amazing. But you look at the lanyard and it says half marathon, which is fine. I'm never running a marathon again. Those things suck. So, okay, let's see. So anything to note? I'm, it was a real small one compared to the last race I ran here, but I was in much better shape. So I was expecting to do okay. At the beginning, I was like, okay, I'm going to run with almost nothing. I'm not going to run with my phone. I usually run with my phone. I'm not going to run with any nutrition like these goo packs because I looked at the aid station chart and they said, ooh, we're going to be handing out goo packs at mile 6. So you can grab one there and take it if you want. I said, oh, that's cool. So I don't have to carry one in my pocket. So the only thing I brought with me was the MP3 player that Puka got me, right? That worked perfectly fine. And then I was running along and I get to mile 5 and there's these people and they're handing out goo packs. And I'm like, oh no, it's too early for this. There must be another one because the the thing didn't say till mile 6. I am so autistic that I can't do a little bit of math and go, oh, it's they probably said 6, but it's really at 5. So I didn't take one. And that could have been catastrophic. However, it ended up being fine. I just, it's like about 20 seconds after passing the goo station at mile 5, I was like, that was probably the one I wanted to grab a thing at, but oh well. And then I remembered that there's like, okay, there's going to be like blueberries at mile 9. And I got to mile 9. I did not see blueberries. I'm going to tell you that. They were handing out pickle juice though. And I'm not sure what that is supposed to do, but they were handing out pickle juice to runners. And I wasn't going to risk it. Like, what is this supposed to do? Induce vomiting so you're lighter for the last 3-4 miles? Nick uses gook packs. You should have gotten half that medal. Oh, that's a good point. So if they could have ordered half as many medals if they took the marathon medal and just ran it through a slicer of some sort. Cut it in half, and then as you finish, you only get half of it. So the point is, I ran the half marathon faster than I've ever run any half marathon by a long stretch. Now, I didn't have my phone, so I don't have my own GPS, but it is a certified course. So I don't think it was wrong. It's just really flat out here. There's no hills back like in New Hampshire. So I ran it in 01, 24, 48, and got my stupid medal at the end. And then at the end, they had free beer and free sandwiches and stuff. So I get a beer. And then I get a second beer, and the second beer, she's like, you've had 2 beers, I'm going to stamp your hand twice. And I put out my hand, and she stamps it twice, and I go, well, what do you mean? Why are you stamping it twice? Because they never said there's a limit to the beer. And I said, how much beer do I get? And she said, we'll see. But also, they filled the second beer up only halfway. I should have been like, what? I should have gotten a stamp and a half, not two stamps, but it didn't matter. I went home shortly after that anyway. I don't know. This is stupid and boring. Nobody really cares. However, the marathon, I stayed until the marathon part of it ended, and a couple people crossed the finish line, and they were like me at the end of the marathon. They were like falling over, like, oh, I'm dying. And there was medical there, but medical was this guy, an EMT, like sitting behind a folded table. And every once in a while, he'd go over to someone who's lying in the ground and talk to him for like a minute and then tell someone to get some bananas. And then get up again. There was no like medical tent or anything that you could bring someone to give them oxygen or anything. I guess he was just there to fill out the death report. We're going to need someone here. If anyone dies, we'd like the death process to be pretty streamlined. So we're going to have you sticking around. I don't know. That's the race update. Oh, speaking of free things. My grandparents are here, too, and they just moved out of their house. It's very sad, everyone. They bought this house, what, 20 years ago? I don't know. Probably less than that. It's a condo. Sold it for 300 and something thou. Pretty good. And they've moved into the old Fizzles home. The assisted living. And the other day, they had the Grandparents' Day celebration. Which... that's a perfect place to put on a Grandparents' Day celebration at the assisted living home. Hey, we're going to have Grandparents' Day. Bring out your grandkids. Bring out your grandkids. And we're going to give them free stuff. So I got there. It's amazing. Free popcorn, free pulled pork sandwiches, and unlimited free hot dogs. I ate so many hot dogs and chips. I was so fat by the end of it. And this was even before the race, so it probably helped me. Mm-hmm. At one point, this old lady, sorry. At one point, I was finishing getting my stuff. You know how everyone, like, you got to stand in line, you got to scoop stuff onto your plate, and it takes 10 times as long when every single person there is old, in a wheelchair or a walker. But hey, who am I to complain? It is free, and it is unlimited. So I just flew through. But at one point, my mom's standing there, and then she starts running. Like away. I see her running, and then I watch where she's running. She's running towards this walker. There's a walker. It's rolling down a hill. Some old lady like let go of it to get her stuff. And as she let go, the walker just rolled down the hill. And I don't know about you guys, but these days they're coming out with these great new walkers. They come with like a table built in. So you can either use the table as a table, or you can turn around and you can sit in it. So it's like a movable chair, right? But unfortunately, there was a plate of grapes on it, and the walker was saved, but the grapes fell to the ground. Good story. How many beers did you drink at the grandchildren's day, grandparents' day? I did not drink any. I did ask where they are, but apparently nobody knows. You know, assisted living homes are very strange. They don't really have a fitness center like a hotel. They don't really have a bar. They don't really have a video game room. They don't have a pool room. They don't got foosball. They don't really have anything except tomorrow. I'm hoping to go to the balloon batting session where they take noodles, like pool noodles, not spaghetti, and they hit around a balloon. And that's their morning exercise. So I'm hoping to go there, hang out with grandma and grandpa while they play balloon bat. I think that's still on the schedule. So it's been a pretty good trip. I spent most of my time just watching that football. Let's see what else is in the news, though. Oh, by the way, there's a hurricane. Did you guys hear about this? If you're not in America, maybe not. However, so there's this new hurricane. It was spinning out of control. Hit this island called Barbuda. And I first launched the news. It's like, Barbuda completely destroyed. And I'm like, oh no, Bermuda! And then I was like, oh, it's just Barbuda. I don't even know what that is. So it goes through the Caribbean, kills Cuba. It's hitting Florida right now. Let's see. Irma pushes north, but millions are without power in Florida. After days of frantic preparation for a storm that devastated the Caribbean, Floridians awoke Monday to destruction that fell short of the direct forecasts. That's good news. This was an overhyped scam put on by the media. Floridians still, residents face life-altering damage and displacement that would prevent a return to normal for some time. Even as Irma was downgraded from a hurricane to a tropical storm, millions remained without power, while the police and the National Guard carried out search and rescue operations across the state. Espresso D says, there's hurricane after hurricane after hurricane out there in the southern states, I hear. Well, yes. So one way to look at it is, oh my goodness, there's tons of hurricanes. I guess this is the new norm, global climate change. Like, now we don't have certain islands anymore. And the other way to look at it is, well, since Katrina, there wasn't a major devastating hurricane for like 12 years, right? And then it was Harvey and then it was Irma in a row. And then I guess Matthew hit a while back, but Matthew was one of those that was supposed to be real bad, and then it missed. And it looks like Irma also a little bit missed. Nothing's as bad as they expected, but it's still pretty bad, at least in the U.S. So, however, as far as other cities go, where is the link that I had for that? This is bad. There are no rules. Desperate stranded tourists tweet out of St. Martin as looters with guns and machetes raid a hotel room and stores. Worrying reports of erupting violence have emerged from St. Martin. So apparently what's happened is that this hurricane goes through. It hits an island, right? Wipes everything. And then what are you supposed to do? There's no cell phone service. There's probably no internet. So it's kind of like, I guess we're just here now. It's now 1400s. And this is the end. Several people who were stranded on the island say looters have begun raiding hotel rooms and homes to profit from the natural disaster. One woman claimed they attacked U.S. and British tourists who became stranded, and some say they have spoken to relatives on the island. So some information has gotten out of this island, St. Martin. And everyone may know St. Martin. It's a very famous island. I don't know how you pronounce it, where the planes come in real low. So everyone likes to stand on the beach and have a plane fly over their head. No water, no food, no electricity, no communication. They are completely isolated, and there are criminals carrying guns and knives, shooting and looting all over. Nothing is working. There are no rules. There is no law and no protection right now. At the Simpson Bay and Resort and Marina, looters went in unoccupied rooms to steal TVs. Now, it can't be that dire. I figure, like, if everything's wiped out and people are really living, like, apocalyptic times, they'll be going through and looking for alcohol and bullets and food, stuff that they can use for value. Not like, hey, a TV, let's go home and plug it in to the plugs that don't exist anymore, right? A man said a bank was robbed. Laura Conroy's family were stranded on the island and are now awaiting rescue from U.S. military planes. They are taking American citizens to the more developed Puerto Rico. Oh, imagine you, like, we got to escape and get to Puerto Rico. Like, who wants that? Oh, here's a video of people lining up to flee. You know what? That does not look very scary at all. Okay. Yep. I don't see any looters in that video, so it must be fine. So if anyone hasn't seen this, this is a video from St. Martin before the hurricane hit. It's a video of a plane taking off. So everyone decides, since a plane's going to take off on this runway, I might as well just stand behind it. And because it's right on the beach. So there's a fence between the airport and the beach, and that's it. And so you can stand on the beach and look at the plane as the engines start up and feel the gusts of the plane hitting you. Now, why would you want to do this? Don't you imagine that there's screws and debris on the runway that could just pick up and stab you in the eye? So anyway, here's the engines roaring. And then as it takes off, there's a whole, like, a patch of people, like in Game of Thrones, when that spoiler alert beep went through and burned all the beeps in that line of people. This plane, his engines just blow people down, and they're like blowing literally down the beach, going, ow, ow, oh. And then the sand is probably hitting them full speed as they run into the ocean for cover. Yeah, you're the idiot that decided to stand behind a plane as it was taking off. And I'm pretty sure there's signs there that say, do not do this. I wonder what someone's body looks like after that. Is it just scarred up like Jesus's after his 40 lashes? Anyway, so the point is that island completely destroyed by the hurricane. And that airport, I'm not sure what the operational status of it is now, but there's apparently sand all over. So I'm not sure how they could ever clean up a little bit of sand. No, seriously, though. The airport is damaged a lot. And we'll see if they ever get back to their old norm of blowing people off the island. Esperosa D says they're not running for cover. They are blown to the ocean by the wind. Yeah, I think there's part of that, but some of them are still on their feet. I did hear that an old lady recently decided that it was a good idea to stand there, and she got blown and died. If you know what I mean? She like hit her head off the sand.
Racine County Sheriff says it is one of the most disturbing cases of child abuse he has ever seen. A 9-year-old girl locked in a dog cage. The girl recently told her teacher at school, who told authorities. The sheriff tells 12 News they arrested two caregivers pictured there. They say the girl was forced to stay in the cage for up to 12 hours a day, including at night and on weekends.
Ha! A grandmother and a man are accused of keeping her 9-year-old granddaughter padlocked inside a wire dog kennel, a grandmother and a man. Oh, I see. It's never a good story. It's never a good situation when a grandmother has most of the custody of a girl. I'm surprised that Daniel Bregoli's biological mom is still taking care of her. Racine County Sheriff deputies and social workers investigated the home near Wind Lake after a teacher made a child abuse complaint Wednesday. Gail, 46, and Dale, 48, were each charged Friday with causing mental harm to a child, false imprisonment, manufacturing marijuana, and maintaining a drug trafficking place. Oh, okay, those are completely all related. I've not seen anything like this in my 23 years of law enforcement. I've seen people do horrific things to other human beings. I've never seen anyone treat a child like an animal. Sheriff's last name is Schmalling. Schmalling, or Schmalling, said the child was locked in the wire kennel every night and let out again at 7 a.m. Cage is 4 feet, 10 inches high, and 4 feet long, and 8 inches... Wait, 4 feet... Oh, sorry, 4 feet, 10 inches high, so a 4'10". But she's shorter than 4'10", because she's like 9 years old or something, right? 4 feet wide, and 8 feet... 4 feet long and 8 feet wide. 4 by 8? That is not a bad-sized room. The kid is forced to go to this cage, and I can't imagine putting a child in a cage like that. There was cardboard on the floor, a few blankets, but no pillow. Unbelievable. So there's a picture of the cage here. It doesn't seem that bad. It's kind of hard to see.
In 23 years of law enforcement, I have yet to see something like this. I needed to see it for myself, and I was taken back. It was a shock that people actually treat a child like this. It was one of the most disturbing things I've witnessed in law enforcement.
Oh, please. Wait a minute. Isn't it ironic how a man who is a cop, who puts people in literal cages, would come into a house and go, oh, you're using a cage on a person? This is not a kennel. This is a nice cage. I am not joking. I would live in this cage. There's a full-size door on it. There's cardboard for padding, and it's plenty wide and plenty high. 4 feet by 8 feet? I mean, maybe the 4 feet's a little small. Maybe an 8 by 8 would be a little nicer. But other than that, it's like, well, I'd live in this cage. Let's see if there's any more information. LaLonde told investigators she kept the girl in a cage at night because she's a danger to herself and others. She hurts animals, threatens to kill us, eats Riddex, and cleaners. I'm trying to keep her safe. The girl has been kept in a cage at night for about 2 weeks. Racine County Human Services removed the victim and a sibling from the residence and placed them in protective custody. They are sleeping in warm beds tonight. I bet you after that, they're going to start eating that cleaner stuff again, though. It sounds like the kids are retarded. Yeah, we have to keep them in a cage. We went out, we got a real nice cage because she keeps eating poison. What are we supposed to do? Now, you can lock a kid in a room, can't you? Like, go to your room. We're locking you in here. But you can't lock him in a cage? Is it because it's made of wires? I don't get it. Nuffin Man says that's a huge dog run. Well, it's not a dog run. A dog run is something like if you chain the kid outside to like a little, like a cable. Like, you can go this far. They make it sound like she was in a little crate. Yeah. Could have put poison in the cage. Well, why would you have done that? They're trying to help the girl, just like Tad Cummins was trying to help. Guys, hear the latest Tad Cummins news? Not able to be released from jail. He put in a motion to get released. Not accepted. Here's some news from the area I'm staying in now, Grand Rapids. Michigan State University was sued Sunday in federal court over its decision last month to deny a white supremacist group's, a white nationalist group's request to speak on campus. The lawsuit was filed by attorney Kyle Bristow on behalf of Cameron Padgett, says the university violated First and 14th Amendments. All right, so basically, the lawsuit says that a Georgia State University student attempted to rent a conference room at the MSU conference center so that Richard Spencer, a prominent white nationalist, could speak about his alt-right philosophy. The Michigan State denied the request. In a statement explaining the decision, the Michigan State president, Lou Anna Simon, said it was made due to significant concerns about public safety in the wake of the tragic violence of Charlottesville. She said that while she and the university remain firm in their commitment to freedom of expression, our first obligation is to satisfy the security of our students and our community. So now they're suing and saying, no, we should be allowed to speak. Well, I guess technically you're right. Maybe. Everyone's saying, oh, it's a state university, so it's a public space. And we should be allowed to rent it. Well, I guess. I guess that's the problem with state universities. So there's the news on that. MSU's decision constitutes unconstitutional content discriminations. So basic story. College says you can't speak here. Student says we can. We're going to sue you. And so there's no... The point is, if you're this guy, what are you gaining? You're like, oh, man, I'd really like to support the white nationalists. I'm going to sue the university. Oh, yeah, everyone's going to be on my side. Even if you win, like, everyone hates you. There's no point. Even if you don't deserve to be hated, the media will cast you as the person that should be hated. And I don't know enough about it because I don't read the news. How should I know? Now that Cantwell's behind bars, who is the FSB going to replace him with? Well, what do you mean? He was kicked out a long time ago. So there's no one to... he doesn't have to be... You mean replace him as the scapegoat? If something goes wrong, they go, oh, that was Cantwell, actually. That was his fault. All right, let's update you guys on this. Equifax. If everyone has been keeping track of the news, there was a big, big problem. On September 7th, 2017, Equifax announced a cybersecurity incident potentially impacting approximately... potentially impacting approximately 143 million U.S. consumers. Information on some Canadians and up to 44 million British residents. The breach was originally discovered on July 29th. The information accessed primarily includes names, social security numbers, birth dates, addresses, and in some instances, driver's license numbers. In addition, credit card numbers for approximately 209,000, blah, 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 blah. Equifax did not disclose whether PINs or other sensitive information were compromised as well, nor did it explain this delay in reporting the breach. Okay, so someone got some information through Equifax's website, probably some poorly coded website where the database is stored that like administrators could log into, right? And someone was able to log in as an administrator and dump all of the data for 143 million U.S. consumers. That is a lot, given the fact that we have like 300 million, 350 million U.S. Americans. I believe that some U.S. Americans don't have maps. So, and I think that's counting kids, right? So if you count, if you say that, most kids wouldn't have a credit report. So this is a lot of people that the information has been dumped over, and everyone is getting up in arms. So right away, Equifax launched this site and said, oh, okay, we're going to try to help. You can sign up for this service. It's credit monitoring, and we'll run it, and please sign up for it. And then in the credit monitoring terms and conditions, it said, oh, by the way, you agree to use arbitration with us, not to sue us. And so everyone was like, oh, my goodness, if you sign up for their fix, you're waiving your right to sue them. Update as of yesterday, Equifax issued a new statement Sunday further clarifying its stance on the arbitration clause. To confirm, enrolling in the free credit file monitoring and identity theft protection products that we are offering as part of this cybersecurity incident does not prohibit consumers from taking legal action. The company said it has now removed the arbitration language from the terms of use on its data breach notification site, which is now called Equifax Security 2017. It also said Sunday that the terms of use on Equifax's main site, Equifax.com, do not cover the Trusted ID service, which is the credit monitoring. So everyone's up in arms. No one knows what to do. I went to Equifax Security 2017. I typed in my name and my social security code or whatever. And it said, we do not believe you've been affected. And I went, oh, okay. Guess I'm not. Now, everyone who thinks they are affected is going to, like, freezing their credit. Now, that's extreme. You don't need to freeze your credit, but they can put you can put a fraud alert on your credit, meaning they literally call you or something before they open any new security cards, credit cards. So the data all got dumped. It's name, social security numbers, addresses. Information that someone could theoretically use on a form to say, oh, it's definitely me, and I definitely want this credit card. Here's what I'm thinking. 143 million. If everyone got their data leaked, then nobody got their data leaked, right? You know what I'm saying? Everyone's back on the same playing field. What are the chances that of 143 million, if my data got leaked, that someone's going to steal a card from me? Like nothing. I'm not even going to worry about it. It's probably fine. So anyway, that's the Equifax hack. If you did get affected, you should definitely Google what you should do. Did I have any links on that? Let's see. This is not a good show, by the way. I am very sorry about this. We are gonna be a short one because I'm going to finish drinking and then go to dinner. But I just want to do a quick update from New York. From Michigan. Why did I say New York? I'm secretly in New York. You caught me. But Equifax hacked. But it doesn't really matter because now, actually, I have all your information. Police officials have reportedly launched an ongoing probe surrounding... Oh, sorry. That was very dumb. This is some information. This is some news out of New Hampshire, and we'll close the show because I don't really have anything else after this. New Hampshire cops silent after white teens attack an 8-year-old black boy. Local activists in Claremont, New Hampshire are demanding that police officials release more details surrounding a racially motivated incident in which an 8-year-old black boy was attacked. According to the news outlet, the child was attacked by a group of white teenagers behind a home. The group of teens allegedly put a rope around his neck and shoved him off a picnic table while yelling racist slurs. What is this? Noose news again? So here's a picture of the black boy's neck. It is a little bit of rope burned. They tried to lynch an 8-year-old biracial boy in New Hampshire, the thing says. Police officials reportedly launched an ongoing probe surrounding the attack, but they have refrained from releasing any specifics about the case because of confidentiality. However, several social justice activists in the Claremont community, believe that withholding the details prevents a crucial discussion about race relations from happening. So some white kids were like, oh my God, a black kid. Let's get him. So they got him, wrapped a rope around his neck, and then pushed him off a picnic table like he was being hung. What did they make him stand up? They're like, stand up on this picnic table. You're black. I wonder how white kids even learn that you're supposed to hang black guys. Espresso D says, list of all the pins that were leaked starts at 0000, 0001, 0002. Very funny. Very funny. They really should make it so your pin can be longer than that. I think it can be on some services, right? More than four digits. Ah, here's some news about something we've talked about before. The couple behind the controversial internet prank videos that caused uproar when critics decried the content as child abuse received 5 years of probation on Monday. Mike and Heather Martin, who posted videos under the name of Daddy05 on YouTube, entered Alford Pleas, onto two counts each of child neglect. What are Alford Pleas? Oh dear, this is real bad. I need to Google something here. I thought it was guilty, not guilty, or no contest. An Alford plea in United States law is a guilty plea in criminal court whereby a defendant in a criminal case does not admit to the criminal act and asserts innocence. So it's like no contest, right? They're like, okay, I will plead guilty, but I don't admit it. Mm-hmm. But acknowledge that prosecutors have enough evidence to secure a conviction. Oh, sorry. This plea does not admit wrongdoing. Oh, well. The deputies investigated the couple in the wake of concerns that the videos depicted in the abuse of their children, Cody and Emma. So in these videos, if you haven't seen them, it's basically the dad like yelling at his kids until they cry. And then it's like, oh, it's just a prank video. I think sometimes they would trip him. In both cases, the boy, 9 years old at the time, became extremely... Sorry. The particular videos, the parents berate Cody after falsely accusing him of damaging his room, and another in which Cody was falsely told he was going to live elsewhere. He became extremely distraught. A psychologist found that both Emma and Cody were negatively impacted by the treatment captured in the videos and shared online as a prank. If the Martins were to violate their probation, they face a maximum total of sentence of 10 years in prison. So do they have the kids anymore? They also may have no contact with Emma, Cody, or the children's biological mother, Rose Hall, unless authorized by the court. Oh my goodness, so that wasn't even the kid's real mother. That was the stepdad. Or sorry, that was the real dad, but it was the stepmom. There's pending little legal litigation. Okay, so they get 5 years probation. Let's see if there's any other news. Reporter rescues two dolphins while covering Hurricane Irma. After devastating much of the Caribbean. So I'm on vacation, so I've been spending a lot of time watching TV and doing nothing. So I've been watching a lot of this hurricane coverage, trying to get you the facts, my loyal subjects or listeners or whatever you want to call yourselves. And most of the news is just reporters going to flooded areas and walking through the flood. And there was a lady that was walking through a flood, and she's like, come on, come on, come on, I'm already committed. So she's yelling at the cameraman, and the cameraman's basically like not moving. Maybe he's smart that he doesn't want to drag his camera cable, if he has one, through the flood. And then she's walking away from the camera going, come on, oh, what is this? Is this a door? She reaches down, and she pulls out this like ripped off sign. And there's nails sticking out of it. She's like, oh, this is what you got to watch out for. There's nails here. You should not be walking through this flood. All right, let's go. She keeps walking through the flood. Two dolphins, an adult and a baby, had become stranded on shore in the wake of the storm. Sanders and a group of strangers worked quickly and banded together to get them back to their ocean home. Well, some news about dolphins. Another story, Comcast sues Vermont. So this is close to where I live. Insists that having to expand broadband violates its First Amendment rights. I don't care. I assume that what's happened is that Vermont has said, hey, we want some broadband. So since you're the telecom people, we're going to tell you you have to bring it. You have to build it. And Comcast is suing, saying, you can't tell us we have to bring you something. And normally I'd be on Comcast's side, I suppose. I don't know. This whole thing about, ooh, the market's monopoly on the cable industry. It's very complicated, right? I've heard that sometimes there's not even a monopoly on the cable industry. It's just like nobody else wants to run cable. Like, that's a lot of cable to run, to charge someone $29.99 a month or whatever, and you're not going to get it back. Because if there is competition in the area, you actually don't make as much back. And having to build all that infrastructure out to not make money is not worth it. So a lot of times, companies decide just not to compete in a market. So, I don't know. It's very complicated. If you're a libertarian, I'm sure you love the government. Especially D says, thank you for watching TV so we don't have to. I do anyway. I watch Fox. Yeah, I was spending most of my time on Fox News to get my hurricane updates. All right, this has been a shorter news with Nick. It is me from Michigan. Does the chat have any questions? Let me see if I had any break show notes. Nope. Hope you guys listened to the last Puke in the Gang. Play trivia for a while. And hear about some diets. Boo! Vandershire says, put that girl in a wood chipper. That's not very nice. Espresso D says, you didn't approve of trivia being played on PATG. I didn't say that. I don't disapprove of trivia being played. If every listener likes trivia, that's completely fine. I think to understand me better, we really do need to play the Get a Pop Culture, like, sorry, not Get a Pop, Quiz Nick on Pop Culture. Like, ask me a question that should be very obvious to anyone about music, a band. I guess a band is music, right? Probably a movie. I can't think of another thing. Or like a foreign country, right? Something that should be super obvious. And I probably won't get it. Oh, yeah, I was listening to the show. And I always think of these questions, like if someone could ask me something, it'd be very dumb if I didn't know it. So someone during the show on Puke in the Gang mentioned Here's Johnny, right? And apparently it's from this movie called The Shining. And if anyone had asked me, hey, what's that famous saying, Here's Johnny, what movie is that from? I would have been like, I do not know. The Exorcist? I would have been in the same category, I suppose. I don't know. I don't know what The Shining is. All I know is the song. Espresso D says, I haven't even heard the saying, Here's Johnny. It's a guy. He sticks his head through the curtains and he goes, Here's Johnny. Right? That's all I know about it. Or is he introducing Johnny Kimmel from The Late Show? Johnny Kimmel. I know it's not Johnny Kimmel. But wasn't there an old guy that also said this? Here's... Wait, was that the same thing? Because it was like, it was really a show. Now I want to say... Oh boy. Oh boy. This is getting real embarrassing. I hope no one's listening. Maybe he said, Here's Freddy, and it was from the movie Freddy. Freddy the 13th, right? Oh, boy. Anyway, I don't know anything, and so that's why I don't get trivia, because there must be a psychological reaction to when you hear something, boom. So I'm going to say, you guys remember Legends of the Hidden Temple? Your brain lights up, and all these memories of Legends of the Hidden Temple come flooding back to you, and you think of all these good feelings you had related to it. But then someone says, you guys remember Samuel L. Jackson in that old movie called Old Blacks and a White? And I don't get any feelings about that because I never saw it, and I don't know what it is. And everyone else gets these good feelings, and they can all relate. And I'm going, hello? Trivia? Joe Sampson says, Freddy the 13th is hilarious. I didn't know it was a comedy movie, so that's good. Is Freddy even from Friday the 13th, or is that a completely different series? What? Who's the puppet? That's Freddy. Freddy's the puppet, right? He goes around going, "Here's Freddy." I don't get anything. The point is, those receptors in my brain don't light up to the same stimuli that people get from trivia or get from pop culture, because I don't get it. So I feel left out, and I go, well, this is just making me upset. It's boring to me because it doesn't do anything for me, so I skip ahead. So yeah, I skipped half the show. I listened to it just to make sure I wasn't missing anything important, and I wasn't. I wouldn't have understood any of that. Joe Sampson says, no, it is different. So Freddy and Friday the 13th are different movies. Okay, so here's... Oh my God, this is a long clip. No! Where does he say, "Here's Johnny"? Oh, here it is.
Here's Johnny!
Was his name Johnny, or was like his knife's name Johnny? Here's Johnny, my knife. Oh, that was informative, I suppose. Not. Yeah, Johnny Carson. All right. Oh, I get it. Oh, I bet you the guy from The Shining was making a joke based on the Jimmy Carson intro. Right? Where is it?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. So the guy in The Shining, the murderer, was making a funny joke based on the Johnny Carson intro going, "Here's Johnny." And then he comes in and kills her. It's all coming together, people. You ever have that aha moment where things make sense? I don't.